Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with my co-host, Michael P. McCarthy.
Always a pleasure.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It's really nice temperatures up here right now. Not a little warm, but not too warm.
Cool. Well, you know, I dressed up for this show tonight. How's it look?
Got your special Florida polo on. You can tell it's Florida because it's got extra buttons on the this part, you know?
Are you sure, Mike? You know, I'm not necessarily sure you're right on that. Your shirt has the exact same amount of buttons.
Three
and
total.
That's a Pittsburgh statement, buttons.
Buttons?
Buttons.
Well, you know, I like to pull a little from here, a little from there.
There we go. Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight, Michael. An open show. That means our listeners get to be our guests tonight. They get to determine the direction of the conversation. They get to say, this is the topic, that if you answer this question, it will be extremely helpful to me. And so I'm going to call in and ask them this question, whatever it is. It could be on Social Security or Medicare or 401ks or IRAs or Roth conversions, or it could be on estate planning or elder care planning or income taxation or long-term care insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, home insurance. If it deals with your personal finance, we're here to answer your question for you and help give you some insight and understanding as what you can do with that situation to get the most out of it. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation, because our listeners are our guests when we do an open show. And we try to do as many open shows as possible. As long as you keep calling in and asking questions, we're going to keep doing open shows because really our whole purpose of doing this show is for you and to answer questions for you and give you some guidance to help you with your personal finance that could be the most beneficial to you. And so if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Okay, Mike, you already got somebody online, eh?
Yep, we got Lee in Towson. Lee, how can we help?
Oh, I just got a question about taxes.
Go ahead.
Let's say you had a house with a basis of $100,000 and you had a relative living in there, close relative, you wanted to sell it to him. But you know, if you sold it to them at market value, they couldn't get a step up in basis. Could you sell it to them at market value, let's say $200,000, and take back a mortgage, and then maybe they're going to pay something each year, but you forgive most of it? How would that work out?
Sure, we've done that many times. Now, keep in mind that if you sell the house and you haven't lived in it personally for two of the last 5 years, you could have a capital gain on it if you only have 100,000 bases in it. So
right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, okay, but if you sell and mortgage it back, when does the capital gain tax kick in? When you get the monthly payments or just immediately?
Well, if you do it on an installment sale, you would get it every time you get the payment. But every time you forgive the payment, you would still have a capital gain.
Okay.
In other words, if just because you forgive the payment and make it a gift, it doesn't negate the gain. If you're going to do that, the best thing to do is just sell it to them for $100,000 and realize that you just made a gift of them to them of $100,000 or whatever it's worth at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, there's no problem with making a gift of a few $100,000 to a family member or even to a close friend or whatever, as long as you don't make more than $6 million or so gifts during your lifetime.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, there's a big misnomer, Lee, is that a lot of people think that if they give more than $15,000, and actually this year just moved up to $16,000. But they believe that if they give more than $16,000, some income tax situation just automatically slams into everybody involved in the transaction. And there's no truth to that. There is no income tax issues with gifts to close friends or family members. It is an estate tax issue. It has to do with your lifetime exemption of how much money you can give during your life or at death to your children or somebody who's a non-spouse. Let's just put it that way. So,
okay. I understood that.
Yeah, and so that's a big misnomer of a lot of people. And, you know, hopefully we get a lot of calls tonight so we can explain more of that, that making gifts is not a problem to your family unless you're worth, let's say, more than $12 million. Maybe then it could potentially be a problem. All right?
All right. Thanks, Lee, for the question.
Good question, Lee.
Bye.
So anyway, in his situation, you know, just forget about selling it to him for $200,000. You know, just sell it to him for $100,000. If he's going to just forgive the loan, he should just sell it to him for $100,000. Anyway, Mikey, anybody else on the line?
Nobody on the line. So if you're listening and you've got a question and you're just hoping you don't have to stay on hold a long time, right now is a great time to call 410-922-6680.
410-922-6680. Open show tonight.
We'll be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're on an open show. That means you, the listener, get to be our guest, so 410-922-6680. Nobody's on the line, I don't think, right, Mikey?
No. If you call in, you'll...
So you get to be the first up, 410-922-6680. And lines are completely open, so easy call in, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, direct the conversation, like Lee did, talking about, you know, selling a house for a discounted price to a family member and what would be the best way to do it. So much of a misnomer about gifts and so forth. Anyway, we do have a caller, so go ahead, Mikey. Let's talk to Jim.
Jim, how can we help?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
Yeah, if you have a Roth and it's lost some of its money, can you take the stocks that have lost money, sell them out, and buy, and take a capital gains loss, and then buy in another Roth?
No. If it's in the Roth, you cannot sell it and take a loss, and then buy another Roth and take the tax loss. No, it's just a loss. You know, your best bet is to keep it invested in something that you think is going to go up and wait for it to recover. That's not the answer you were hoping for. Jim?
All right. I think we lost Jim. Jim might have had some connection problems. But, yep, anything we buy and sell in a Roth. And I think what Jim might have been asking is, can I distribute the stock to myself, then sell it to take the loss, and then make a contribution back in and buy something?
Either way,
it still doesn't work. Yep.
No. So you got another caller there, Mikey.
I do. Roger in White Marsh. Roger, how can we help?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. obviously my investment has taken a hit, and I would like to sell all of it and just pull it out and buy a Tesla. Who knows what? Who's going to determine what is a capital gain on what I when I close it out?
Well, where are you gonna sell out and buy Tesla in?
No, I'm just being.
But what are you gonna sell out? Is what I'm asking.
Okay,
is it an IRA, a Roth, what?
I have just an investment account with Janus.
Okay, so you have a regular brokerage account. So
right.
If you sell the things in that regular brokerage account, you take a loss, and they'll send a 1099 composite at the end of the year showing how much of a loss you took during the course of the
year.
Or a
gain, depending on how long you held the things.
Right.
So let's just use a figure. If I had $100,000 in this brokerage account and now it's worth $75,000, if I sold the whole thing and took my $75,000, I'd have a $25,000 loss?
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, Abdul, I mean, we're assuming.
Well, how much did you put in that grew to 100,000?
Well, yeah, you could have put in 80 and could have gone
$50,000. Let's say I put in 50. It was worth 100. Now it's worth 75.
So there's a good chance, you know, you have to look at the statement and see what your unrealized gain or loss is on that statement. And whatever it says at that statement, if you sell the whole account out, that's what you're going to either have as a gain or a loss at the end of the year.
But I'm not going to have a loss on the $25,000 I've lost because I only had $50,000.
Right. So what you're talking about is unrealized gains and losses. And unrealized gains and losses, when you get an unrealized gain, and it still is a gain, but it loses $25,000 of the unrealized gain, there is no deduction for that.
Right. Okay. That's, and the same way with an IRA. If I sold my IRA just to get out, let's say there's $200,000 in it, then I would have to pay a gain. I'd have to pay taxes on all of it.
Ordinary income. Not just gain, but ordinary income.
Right.
Your best bet in an IRA is if you sell is just to leave it in the IRA, but put it in an investment that you're not going to fluctuate in value on.
Right. But if I sold it and just took the money, I'd have a tax on the money.
Whole entire amount you get as ordinary income.
It would be considered ordinary income, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now there is a quirky little thing with IRAs. That if you put in $50,000 in an IRA, okay, contributions $50,000,
right,
and it goes down to $45,000, and you liquidate the whole entire IRA, there is a $5,000 deduction you can take as an itemized deduction on your income tax return.
Right. Okay. Now,
but not many people ever would do that, so hopefully nobody would ever do that. But if you did do that, that is a quirky little thing that is out there.
Now, if I have a standard deduction, there's still a form that I can use to file with my income tax to take a loss. Is that right?
No. You have to have more itemized deductions than your standard deduction.
Ah, so. So I can't take I wouldn't be able to take the standard deduction and a deduction for the loss.
No, you'd have to have more itemized deductions than standard, including the loss in the itemized.
Including
all right,
the loss,
yep.
Because I don't have enough standard deduction, standard deductions anymore.
Right. So, I got to run, Roger. Good question. Good question.
Thank you. All right, we got more callers on the line. Let's go to Janice in Baltimore. Janice, how can we help?
Hi. I'm 62 years old, and I'm retired. And I would like to leave something to my son, you know, like in the future before, say, my hospital bills or Medicare or end up having to have me to liquidate everything in order to provide for health care. So is there anything that you could recommend that's proactive that I can do now before, you know, maybe I end up in the hospital and all my retirement, my Social Security and everything end up going to the nursing home that I can leave for my family now.
Well, that's a difficult one. I mean, there are things you can do, but each one comes with negative consequences to some degree. So, you know, the best thing, I guess the simplest thing I could recommend is every year you try to just make a gift. You only have one child?
Yes, and I have one niece that I favor as well.
Okay, so you have two people that you really care about, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what I would recommend is try to make as generous a gift each year to them that you can from the assets you have. Otherwise, I'd wait until you're in a position where you can see in the future that your medical health could deteriorate rapidly, and then I would contact an elder care attorney and talk about how to protect the rest of it.
You want to look about 5 years out.
Yeah, you want to be thinking, 5 years out, but anything I would suggest would possibly come with inability of you to be able to use those monies, and I think you need those monies, right?
At the time, but I just want to be proactive because I've just been hearing horror stories about people having to sell their home because the spouse end up in...
Are you married?
Elderly care. Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you know, here's the good news is that being married, you can always protect a house, a car, and $100,000 worth of assets in a married situation. So, you know, there's a lot of planning that can be done in those later years. But what I would suggest again, Janice, is to consider, you know, trying to give, you know, if you can give $500 to each of them every year, I would give $500 to each of them every year. I'd give, if you can give $1,000 every year, give them $1,000. And then that way you're doing it incrementally where you're just taking excess that you might have and giving it to them. And then as you get older and your spouse will be able to protect a tremendous amount of assets, okay? It's when the survivor is out there that you could have a much more significant drawdown from medical. So, you know, you need elder care attention when you get to that time, but I wouldn't try to do anything right now. It's only going to be a potential negative to you.
I understand. Now, when you say, channel my finance, like, say, for instance, not so much as my husband, but say my son, are you talking like put some money in an IRA?
You could do an IRA for him or her. You could do a Roth IRA. I've only got about 10 seconds left, you know.
All right.
But, those are some things you can do, my friend, definitely. Okay. And I would consider doing that, okay?
All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Janice. Great call.
All right. And we will be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. We're on an open show here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're answering your questions. You're the guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation. And we have John on the line, hopefully, and we're going to go to him in a second. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question.
And we have open lines.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. And as Mikey just said, we have plenty of open lines if you want to call in. 410-922-6680. Is John still there? Let's go to him.
John, we apologize that we weren't able to get to you in time, but if you're still out there and you want to call back in, at the moment the lines are empty again.
Okay, so we're back to empty again, right, Mikey?
Yep.
So 410-922-6680. So, Mike, this morning I was talking to Sean Casey about the estate tax law in Maryland and how absolutely devious and evil this tax is. And It's the little guy that's going to get clobbered by this thing, because it's $5 million. And now there'll be a lot of people out there thinking, oh, $5 million, that's a lot of money. You know, they're not little guys. Well, they are little guys, actually, if you think about it. It's not uncommon in today's world for somebody to be worth $5 million, especially with the way real estate has skyrocketed, especially with what the stock market's done over years. $5 million isn't all that money, but Maryland is not inflation adjusting its $5 million. And as Sean pointed out, they inflation adjust the gas tax every year. So if the gas tax is 50 cents this year and you get 2% inflation, the gas tax will be 51 cents the next year. So, you know, I mean, if they adjust the gas tax for inflation, why are they not adjusting the estate tax for inflation? So that, you know, the same person who's going to pay estate taxes to Maryland in 2022 on a $5 million estate will be the same present value of whatever the estate exemption is in 2042. You know, in 2042, somebody could be paying estate taxes on $5 million estate. It could be the equivalent of $1 million today. Does that make any sense? And here's another weird thing about the estate tax, and that is that you have to file an estate tax return to get the portability from your deceased spouse. So if I die and my wife wants my $5 million exemption, she has to file an estate tax return that gives her a $10 million exemption in Maryland. But think about it. How many small people making, you know, maybe with $3, $4, $5 million of assets might not file an estate tax return, not realizing that they need to do it in case their assets were more than $5 million when the second spouse passes away? Anyway, this is what a great professional financial advisor should be doing for you. Anyway, Mike, go ahead. Let's go talk to our clients.
Steven in New Windsor Mill, how can we help you?
I'm in New Windsor, not Windsor Mill.
New Windsor, got it.
Windsor Mill, New Windsor.
You had a very interesting comment about gifting. I was always under the belief that anything over $15,000 was, well, $16,000 now, was subject to, even $1, was subject to a 40% tax paid by the gifter. Is that true?
So there's a portion of what you're saying could potentially be true, but in the most people's situation, there's no truth to it. It's the most misunderstood tax of them all, Stephen. Okay? So let me try to explain it to you. So the federal government currently has an estate exemption of $12 million. Let's just use $12 million. It's like $12,060,000. But let's just use $12 million. So the exemption is $12 million. In your life or at your death, combined, you cannot give a non-spouse more than $12 million. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if Stephen is worth $2 million... and Stephen gives his children $100,000 each, and then you die 30 years later and your estate's never more than $3 million, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no gift tax for the $100,000 you gave the children, and there's no estate tax when you die.
And I also thought Maryland had the double tax like New Jersey estate.
No. Now, Maryland does not. One of the few things Maryland does not have is a gift tax. Maryland does not recognize gifts for estate tax purposes. So Maryland only looks at the assets that you have at the time of your death to determine if you've given your non-spouse beneficiaries more than $5 million. Now, hear
so
that. That's
no,
very important.
No double taxation is what you're saying. It's not estate and inheritance, right?
Well, they do have an estate and inheritance tax. What they don't have is a gift tax looking back at your gifts during your lifetime.
Okay.
Now, where does the inheritance tax hit? The inheritance tax only hits somebody who is a non-lineal descendant or a sibling. So if I have a mother, father, grandparent, grandchild, great-grandchild, they are all exempt individuals, okay? If I give money to my brothers and sisters, they're all exempt for inheritance tax purposes. So if I had an estate worth $20 million, I would not pay any inheritance tax on giving money to my lineal descendants or my siblings. I would only possibly pay estate tax if I didn't hire somebody professionally to guide me through that process.
And one further question. I'm sorry to take so much time. What about first cousins, second cousins?
They're all 10%.
10%?
Period. 10%.
Oh, they pay 10%?
Well, when your estate passes assets to cousins, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, 10%. Friends, right. Non-married spouses, 10%.
And that's off the top of what they get, that just comes off. And is that,
yeah, so if you leave $1 million, you leave $1 million, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, non-married spouse, $1 million, $100,000 is going to come off the top, and $900,000 is going to be dispersed according to your instructions to them.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Now, Maryland is the only state that has an estate tax and an inheritance tax now. Only New Jersey used to, and New Jersey dropped them both.
Wow.
That's really amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
Yeah. Maryland should be ashamed of themselves. They should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree.
Anyway.
I've got a lot of planning to do, and
yeah.
It's a roller coaster ride when you start going through the law, because it's just...
All right, we got to run.
All right, Stephen, thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, we can probably get started. We've got Joe in Stevensonville. Joe, we may have to keep you going until after the break, but how can we help?
I'm interested in some information about I-bonds.
Sure. All right.
And so, first of all, I want to thank you. I learn a lot from your show, so I appreciate it.
Good. So I-bonds, you go online, treasurydirect.gov.
I understand that, but this has to do with sort of like gifting. I want to set one up, and I've set my account up, but I want to give one to my son.
Okay.
But it sounds like I have to have an account for him set up also. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If you're going to make a gift of it, you got to put it in his name. So you got to set up an account for him. So I would have him come to your house and sit down with him and set up an account for him and then put the money into it.
Okay, and one other question about the gifting. Do you fill out something on your income tax that shows that you gave?
No, it's a totally separate tax return called a 709 gift tax return, and you don't need to file it unless you give more than $16,000 to any one person in any one year.
Okay.
So if you don't, you don't even have to worry about it. There are times, there are unique situations where some people who are worth a lot of money might want to do it, but if you're not worth a lot of money, just don't worry about it, okay?
Well, I was worth more money yesterday than today. So.
We understand. Right. Thank you so much, buddy. Joe.
Take care.
All right. Well, we're going to have to go to a break, but Rich, if you're listening, keep on listening or keep on that line because we'll be the first back to you. But with that, we will be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm here with Michael P., and we're doing an open show. We have a caller online. We're going to go to him a second, 410-922-6680. This is the last part of the show. We probably can take another one or two more calls, but for right now, we'll go to Rich in Gardensville.
Rich, thank you for waiting.
You're welcome. Good evening, Mr. Tignanelli and Mr. McCarthy. I have a
You said that extremely well, Rich.
Pardon me?
You said Tignanelli extremely well.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for having good ears. I try to pronounce people's names correctly. If I mess up the first time, I ask them how I should say it.
You did good. Well. You did very well. Go ahead, my friend. Ask your question.
It's hard for me to... I talk too fast. I'm trying to find out what's a better investment. Two parts. One, a certificate of deposit or a T-bill that I've heard about recently. The second part of that is it worth considering it for someone, a friend of mine who's in her mid-90s, rather than have the money in a savings account in the bank?
Okay, so if I was going to do something for a 90-year-old, I'd probably just buy a Treasury bill money market fund where, you know, the money's always instantly liquid and you're only giving up maybe a 0.25% or so a year to the money market fund. And right now they're yielding close to 1% a year, probably 0.75% at the most. CDs, they have a very similar risk component. They're very low risk. Obviously, a treasury bill is greater safety than a CD. A CD is insured by the FDIC, which is a quasi-agency of the United States government that has a sort of unconditional guarantee from the United States government, okay? Whereas a treasury bill is an unconditional guarantee of the United States government. So there's a very limited difference in safety between the two, but obviously a direct liability of the government is better than a indirect through the FDIC and back to the guarantee by the United States government. So safety-wise, they're similar. CDs, though, you're always going to have to lock in a time frame.
Yeah.
So if you buy a CD, you got to lock in a time frame. Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? So you always have to lock that in, and you always have to wait for them. In addition, CDs are taxable state of Maryland. Treasury bills are 100% tax-free in the state of Maryland. That's 8.5% taxes that you're saving by buying a treasury bill. You know, if your friend, 90 years old, has more than enough money to get through the rest of her life, I'd probably just put it in a treasury bill money market fund. That way you get the tax-free exemption and you don't have to worry about anything.
Treasury bill money market. Is it difficult to get those? You get those in a bank?
You don't get them at the bank. You get them at Charles Schwab and Company, Vanguard.
Okay.
You know, somebody like that. You'd go to Vanguard, and they're not going to charge you. They don't charge you anything. They make their money off the mutual fund. They probably make 0.25% to 0.5% a year managing the money market fund.
And what, sir, if I may ask, what causes the rates to go up on CDs when the market's like it is?
When the Federal Reserve starts hiking interest rates. You know, when the Federal Reserve starts hiking interest rates, that's when CDs will start going higher because they have to start competing with the Treasury bill. As the Treasury bill goes higher, then they have to pay more to attract people to make deposits into their CDs.
Very good.
So tell me, where's Gardenville?
Oh, Gardenville's in northeast part of a quadrant of Baltimore City, Maryland. You know where Blair Road is, Route 1 coming through Baltimore?
Sure, absolutely. So where's Gardenville
there?
Northern Parkway is Gardenville?
Well, no. Well, now you're, that's good. That's because you're detailed. Frankfurt Avenue and Blair Road.
St. Right. Anthony's I know where Church. That is. So that would be considered Gardenville.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Are there any gardens there?
Not anymore. There were, from what I understand, I've been here for a while now. They had truck farms or vegetable farms over here near Hamilton Avenue and orchards down near... Sipple Avenue on Frankfurt Avenue.
Okay.
But, that was before my time, but...
well, that's good
now,
to hear.
So you're not going to find...
Well, Rich, thanks again, and I hope you call again.
All right. We appreciate your call.
You guys and your families. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Without any ado, let's go to JP in Anne Arundel. JP, how can we help?
Hi.
Hi.
You're busy tonight.
Yeah.
Always, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I'm calling, by the way, that's Michael answered.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And may I call you Drew, Mr. Tecanelli?
Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely.
Because okay. I have difficulty speaking. Thank you. I have an insurance policy. I wondered if you could give me an idea what I should do with it. It's purchased in 1982.
So is it a life insurance policy?
Yes, kind of. It's a death benefit.
Okay.
$150,000.
What company?
Washington National Insurance.
Okay. Okay.
Are they reputable?
You know, they're a fine insurance company. There's okay. No doubt.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. What I want to know is they take almost $180 out of my checking account each month to pay
each
for the
month?
Policy.
So each month?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
How old are you now, if you don't mind I asking in general? You don't have to give me exact, but in general.
I'm not ashamed.
Okay.
I'm 78.
78. And what's the purpose for the insurance policy?
Well, at the time, I don't have a clue.
Okay. Do you have anybody that's dependent on you? Do you have other assets? Do you have bank accounts?
I have a savings account at Arundel Federal.
Is it worth $10,000, $50,000, $100,000? In general,
$200,000.
So, do you have children that you need to leave this money to? The Washington National.
I would like to, a son and a nephew.
Okay. Does the policy have any cash value built up in it now?
The insurance policy, yes, $83,000.
Okay. Well, what you're going to need to do with that policy, okay?
Yes.
Is
yeah.
You need to, you know, if you were working with Mike and I, what we would do is we'd get an in-service illustration from Washington National. And we'd say to Washington National, I don't want to make this premium payment anymore, but I want to feel confident that the policy is going to stay in force for the rest of my life based on the cash value I've got built up in this policy.
Well,
and so, go ahead.
It has a statement. About that, it's, oh my goodness! Oh, I hate to tie up your line. Can I call you at your office?
Yeah, you know, look, if you were able to get us the statement that you got, we would look at that and help you try to figure out what is best for you.
Well, I'd be happy to. I'd love to come and see you guys, but I can't drive.
Well, you give us a call, and we'll talk, and we'll try to figure out what's best for you, and we'll figure out how to help you, okay?
All right. Should I send this, copy this forms?
Call my office, 410-823-7283, and ask for me, and I'll figure out how to get that and look at it for you, okay?
410-823-7283.
Yep. All right.
Well, thank you so much,
both of you.
And the young lady that answers the phone, she was dot light.
Yes, Anita's
she is.
Fantastic.
Anita's wonderful.
All right, take
yeah,
JP.
Thank you.
JP.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Michael.
Bye.
All right. What, do we have any other callers, Mikey?
We don't have any other callers. I think...
No other callers. So we're just going to have to chit-chat for the rest of the show. But, you know, what JP was talking about is very important, and that is a lot of people bought policies a long time ago, and they think that these policies are permanent, And it's very important that you understand what is actually going on in these policies. Because so many people have come into our office and they've got a policy they bought 20, 30, 40 years ago, like she did, thinking that this is a permanent insurance policy that when they die, their family's going to get this money. Nothing could be further from the truth without understanding exactly how that policy is operating. And we see it all the time. So it's very important that you get somebody objective to look at these things and say to you, yes, this is what's happening here.
Yep, absolutely.
So, anyway, we only have about a minute left, Mikey. You have anything to share?
Well, we'll just go quickly. Drew and I always pull inspiration from what's going on in our own lives, and both Drew and I are currently working on long-term care claims for family members of ours, and just the difficulty that you should expect when you try to ask a insurance company to pay $10,000 a month.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that the long-term care companies, you pay this premium for 30, 40 years. My mother's been paying since 1989, and they're treating her like, you know, she's trying to pull one over on them. And
How old's your mom again?
She's 93. She's about 4'9". She weighs about 95 pounds.
That's
preposterous
that someone is 93 might need long-term care.
She's got macular degeneration, been a diabetic for 50 years. You know, it's just like, you know, really, guys? You know, it's just the way they operate.
That's why we're not an insurance company, right?
Yeah, I just don't have the heart to be a long-term care insurance company, you know. Anyway, Mikey, we're out of time, I think.
I think so.
And we just say to our listeners that I hope this show is helpful to you. That's our goal, demonstrate what a professional financial advisor should be.
And happy 4th of July and God bless America.
Yes, and this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.